The first testament reading is Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25, which can be found on page 696 of the Pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson is one of the most famous in all of the scriptures. It is Paul's great chapter on love in the book of 1 Corinthians. We are going to read the whole thing, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. So let us listen for the word of the Lord speaking in these words. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but don't have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love isn't envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It isn't irritable. It isn't resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord. So I was doing what I know I shouldn't be doing, but I was doing it anyway. I was thinking of two things at the same time. And I'm a guy, and that is always a dangerous thing to do. I was walking down the grocery store aisle with all of the baking goods, and the two things I was thinking to myself, the first one was, what ingredients do I need for my mother's world-famous chocolate chip cookies? Now, they may not actually be world famous, but they were the kind of cookies I could trade for anything in school. regardless of what it was, probably enough of them would have gotten me a bicycle. I mean, they were just that good. So I was thinking that. At the same time, though, I was thinking, I need to lose weight. And somehow these two things didn't quite jive until I got to that place in the baking aisle where they have the fake sugar. Okay? And so normally I was used to seeing it in the packets, right? You'd put it in your coffee and your tea. But they had this canister. And on the canister it said, bakes like sugar, cooks like sugar, measure it out like sugar. And I thought, yes, this is it. I can have my cookies and lose weight too. Now, I should have known better, but as soon as I put together the first sort of batch of dough, it didn't look quite right somehow. And then when the cookies started not really melting right in the oven, I should have known something was wrong. And then I tasted the first one, and I knew something was wrong. And all of those cookies just went right into the trash. What I discovered was that while I could probably mess with lots of different ingredients in my mother's chocolate chip recipe, the necessary ingredient was sugar, that it just wouldn't do without it. And I was thinking about that this week as just the whole idea of necessary ingredients. That in anything we try and create, there's always at least one necessary ingredient that you can't live without. If you are baking bread or rolls, what's the one ingredient you need? Yeast, right. You have to have yeast or you get matzah. You know, it's just kind of flat. If you're trying to bake up a corporation, a really great corporation, the necessary ingredient is not simply a visionary CEO. It's a visionary CEO who has the ability to create an ethically sustainable ecosystem in that corporation, so that you don't end up like Uber. Okay? So you need that CEO who knows how to do it the right way. If you want a great classroom, you can have lots of ingredients. You can have the best technology, you can have the best books, you can have the brightest walls, but unless you have that necessary ingredient of a teacher who not only loves their children, but has great classroom management skills, all of those other ingredients aren't going to be overly helpful. And in some ways, that's what Paul is trying to tell the church in Corinth. That what Paul is trying to tell them is that there is one necessary ingredient for their church, and that necessary ingredient is love. Now, there are lots of ingredients that go into the church. And Paul, if we'd gone back a chapter, we would have heard Paul talking about these other necessary ingredients, these other ingredients. He talked about wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy. Elsewhere, he teaches about teaching, encouragement, hospitality. He says, okay, when you're sort of baking up the church, all of these are ingredients. But he said the necessary ingredient is love. And that's that first part of chapter 13. Listen again with the concept, thinking about the idea that this is the one necessary ingredient. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but don't have love, I'm just a noisy gong, clanging cymbal. And even if I have all prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, but don't have love, I am nothing. If I have the power to move mountains, if I have the ability to give away my body, to sacrifice myself as a martyr, but don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is that one necessary ingredient that the church has to have. And I believe it's that that necessary ingredient for two reasons. First, love unites us as neighbors and doesn't unite us as enemies. I know that sounds odd. Love unites us as neighbors and doesn't unite us as enemies. When Jesus Christ came, throughout his ministry, it wasn't simply about helping people punch their ticket to heaven. Are you saved, not saved? Do you get to heaven? Do you not get to heaven? How do you do it? What do you say? What do you do? This isn't what Jesus came to do. What Jesus came to do was to create what Isaiah talked about. Jesus came to create this new heaven and this new earth, this new renewed creation in which everyone had enough, in which everyone shared in the bounty of the earth, in which everyone lived long, full, abundant lives. But the only way this kind of new creation could come about is if people were united in love as neighbors. This is why love is patient, kind, why it believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, bears up under all things. Love unites every human being as neighbors so we can share in this new creation. The problem is that we can be united around things other than love. Hate unites people. But hate unites people as enemies. It breaks community. It breaks this new creation. It doesn't allow this kingdom of God to come sweeping into the world. And so love is that necessary ingredient because it is the one thing that binds us together as human beings, as neighbor in community. The second reason that I think love is that necessary ingredient is that it's the God ingredient. I know many of us grew up thinking about God of the Old Testament as this sort of mean, angry God who just, you know, was waiting to punish us, and we had to sort of stick around for the New Testament to find this kind, loving God. But if you really sort of read through the whole Old Testament, what you find is that God is loving from beginning to end. Adam and Eve mess up. What does God do? God keeps on loving them. Cain slays Abel. What does God do? God keeps on loving Cain. The people get into the wilderness. Excuse me, after God's freedom from slavery, and they are whining and complaining, God still loves them. The psalmist tells us that God's steadfast love endures forever, that God's faithfulness and love will last to the thousandth generation. You get to the New Testament. God so loved the world. And the famous line out of 1 John, God is love. And where love is, there is God is. And so it's the God, love is that God ingredient that binds us together not only with neighbors, it binds us together with God. That when we love within the life of the community, it says God is here. And we are connected with God in a real and powerful way. And so what happens then is that we can get connected with neighbor, we get connected with God, and we become this new community that helps build this new heaven and this new earth where everyone shares in the goodness and bounty of creation, where all are welcomed. I think we as First Presbyterian Church, we're not perfect, but I think we work at being a community of love. Whether it's things as simple as casserole club, When a new mom or someone coming out of the hospital needs a hand, people step up and do it, whether it is Shop and Drop at Alcott for food challenge families in Pontiac, where we give them food for the weekend so children won't go hungry, where we work in downtown Detroit with LGBTQ youth, showing them that they are loved and cared for, where we help to feed them and offer them medical care at Ruth Ellis Center. Whether it's our mission team in Mexico helping to put a school together for students who wouldn't otherwise be able to get an education. I think that there's so many ways where we do this and do it well. But for me, one of the most exciting ways in which this love unites us, this love shows patience and kindness and compassion, where it shows all of this, is in our Stephen's ministry. This is a new ministry within the life of our church. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to invite Reverend Joanne to come up, and she's just going to say a little bit about Stephen ministry, why it shows love within the life of our community, and then we're going to install our new Stephen ministers. Joanne.
Good morning. Stephen Ministry is in over 12,000 congregations in the world. Stephen ministers are trained and supervised lay volunteers who enter in a one-to-one confidential relationship with people who are struggling with various life situations. They listen, they support, and as the word that the first class came up with, they are true sojourners with another, living out the love of Christ. 2 years ago, thanks to a grant from First Foundation, we trained our first class of Stephen ministers here at FPC. They've been busy. They've been real busy and very dedicated. This year, thanks again to the support of First Foundation, we sent three people to leadership training, which enabled us to train yet another class of seven Stephen ministers. So today we recognize our new leaders. If you'll stand, John Crawford, Trish Hort, and Don Hort. Oh, don't sit down. And we commission our second class of Stephen ministers. I would like to ask those to be commissioned to come stand before the congregation and to have our leaders join us over here. Go up the steps so they can all see you. Sure. Before we do the commissioning, I do want to share with you that I have been so privileged to be in community with all our current class and our new class. These people are so dedicated to sharing the love of Christ, and I hope you will support them and lean on them if it would be of help to you. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been equipped to serve as Stephen ministers at First Presbyterian Church of Birmingham. Listen to these words from Colossians. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Each of you has been comforted by God with the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for you. We ask you now to join in serving our Lord as a Stephen minister by being a sojourner to those who are burdened under the stress of daily life. We ask you to be a listener in a hurried world. We ask you to use your skills and talents to help those whom you serve and to pray for them. We ask you to help this congregation grow as a caring community through your own caring ministry. As the Lord Jesus revealed his presence to you through faith, we ask you to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ in our world today. To you all, are you prepared to meet those requests that we ask of you? If so, answer yes with God's help.
Yes, with God's help.
Are you prepared to nurture the skills you have learned and use them in service to others?
Yes, with God's help.
And now I ask all of you, the congregation, members of First Presbyterian Church, to pray for the ministry of these people, that they may be effective servants of Christ. We also ask you to open yourselves to this ministry as you face struggles in your life. If you are prepared to meet these requests, answer yes with God's help.
Yes, with God's help.
Are you prepared to serve as Stephen ministers at First Presbyterian Church of Birmingham?
Yes, with God's help.
And now, as I call your name, receive a blessing. Stephen Coddington. May the Lord Jesus, who has graciously called you his disciple, now strengthen you by his Spirit for your ministry in and to his world. Dana Lehman. May you see Christ in all people and be moved by his life to care for them as you would care for Christ himself. Julie Madden, may the God of all peace keep you sound in body, mind, and spirit, and strengthen you for the ministry to which you have been called. Marcia Nickel. Blessed is the person whose strength is the Lord Jesus. May you ever find strength in him for your ministry and for your life. Tom Scholl. May the Spirit dwell in you richly, filling you with joy and peace and courage for all your endeavors in the Lord's service. Diana Scher. In Christ, you are a new creation. May his redeeming love bring you peace in your service to his people. And Heidi Wilkinson. As God has loved us in Jesus Christ, may God bless you as you share with others the love you have received from God. Because you have promised faithfully to serve our Lord and his people as Stephen ministers, I commend you to the care and guidance of the Holy Spirit as you turn in care for others. Work hard and use the skills you have learned, releasing the gifts and talents that the Holy Spirit has most certainly given you. Pray for those whose lives you are privileged to share. Act boldly and without fear, for Christ is with you. Go out into the world. Have courage and love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the Spirit and power of the Holy Spirit. I now would like to invite the rest of the Stephen ministers to come up and lay hands. Let us pray. O God, we ask you to take this group of newly commissioned Stephen ministers into your care. May they serve you with the power of the Holy Spirit. May they be quick to serve and patient in listening, willing to share themselves with others. Show them a special measure of your mercy and joy in times of stress, and give us thankful hearts for them. In the name of Christ, who loves and cares for all of us forever, amen. I welcome you all to Stephen Ministry and congratulate you on accomplishing.
As the Stephen ministers are headed down, what we've done this morning is we have added some extra ingredients. Some ingredients of kindness, compassion, caring to the life and work of our church. But as Paul reminds us, that one necessary ingredient is still love. And so, here is my challenge to all of you, whether you are Stephen's ministers or not, to ask yourself this question: how am I baking love into my life? How am I baking love into my life, into all of my relationships, that I might bring people together as neighbor, as friend, as part of God's new creation? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that from the beginning of time, throughout time, into the future, you are love, and your love is poured out into our lives and into this community. Help us to be a community of love, peace, grace, tender mercy, that people might find your new kingdom coming to birth among us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.